Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest today is Ross Bark, and Ross is running for the New York State Senate. His opponent is Senator Martin Golden. So the senator has been in a little bit of hot water lately. Can you talk about what's going on?
Sure. So Senator Marty Golden this week was ensnared in controversy. He was being chauffeured home from an awards ceremony or something like that. I'm actually a holiday party. And the car was driving through a bike lane and wanted a cyclist to move. And the cyclist who was in the bike lane did not want to move because he was in his rightful place. Marty threatened the cyclist by pretending to be a police officer. This is according to the cyclist, and waved him over and told him he's going to take him to the precinct. And the cyclist wasn't convinced he was really a police officer. So he confronted him on this and tried to take some pictures. Marty's car sped off. He ran several red lights. He was speeding, and the cyclist was, you know, trying to keep up with him to kind of document this encounter. And then it turned out after this went viral that Marty's car had many, I guess it's more than two dozen violations on it going back several years, and then a few tickets that had gone totally unpaid, including one for speeding in a school zone. And now people were reminded, too, this had happened many years ago, that his car actually had struck and killed a 74-year-old woman crossing the street. And it was ruled an accident, but the Daily News reported Marty Golden paid $750,000 settlement to the family. So a lot to digest there.
Now, with all of the infractions that you just talked about, were they all done by the chauffeur? Was this all done, like, in his role as New York State Senator with the chauffeur driving?
They're all the violations are to his personal car, the one he's being driven in, the one he uses. Unclear to me how often he was being driven around and how much he was behind the wheel. I don't know. I just know these are violations that were slapped on his vehicle, several of which have still not been paid.
So when you first decided to run for the New York State Senate, were you aware of all these traffic infractions?
No, I was not. I knew vaguely of the 2005 incident I mentioned, but to be honest, I wasn't thinking about it at all. It was one of those things that was lost to history, so to speak. I when this news broke, I couldn't say I was totally surprised because Marty Golden doesn't really have much regard for pedestrians or cyclists or anyone who's not in a car. And I'm a driver myself. I have a car. But I also understand you have to be very careful and you have to be aware of your surroundings. And, you know, given his history, this is all really par for the course for him. But, I mean, the only thing it did, which was good for me and my efforts, is it reminded people of who Marty Golden really is. And that's important because to win this race, you have to both share your vision and run on your record, which I'm doing, and you also have to remind people of the stakes and what they're dealing with here in Southern Brooklyn.
So how long has your opponent been seated in the New York State Senate?
Since he's elected in 2002. So since 2003, and before that, he's a city councilman, and he's elected in 1997. So He's been in office in total in this area about 20 years.
So, given the fact that there's a slim margin for the Republicans in the state Senate? Did the leadership try in any way to control him in the past?
The Republican leadership, you mean?
Yes.
Control him? I think he's popular with the Republicans and the state Senate. I mean, they need him. He's part of their buffer. I mean, if he's defeated, their majority would be in peril. So I think for the most part, they just kind of let him be and assume he'll win re-election anyway, because he has, though the important point to make is he's run unopposed 4 times and he's never had a serious challenge with really one exception in 2012, and even that challenge didn't really stand a chance of beating him because, it probably just wasn't strong enough. And, he's really run mostly without opponents, and so that's allowed him to stay entrenched, so to speak, but that's obviously changing, and I'm very happy to provide a serious challenge, and I believe I'm going to win. I'm not running to make a point. I'm running to take him out and force him into retirement.
And so you're saying the district is in Brooklyn. Now, people are under the impression that the 5 boroughs are pretty solidly in Democratic hands. Has this particular district been gerrymandered for a Republican? Your district.
Yes, Marty Golden drew the lines himself. It's absolutely gerrymandered. But even with the gerrymander, it still has a strong Democrat registration advantage. Still has many progressive parts to it. But certainly Marty Golden could only be in power this long if he got to draw his own district. Had you had an independent district, probably would be long gone. So, as I said, even with the gerrymander, he's still very beatable.
Wow. So, there's been a lot of talk about a reunification with the IDC and the mainstream Democrats. From your perspective, what's going on with that, and is it being successful?
There's a tentative deal in place. I don't know if it's going to be successful. I mean, Senate Democrats and the IDC have agreed in theory. A lot of people on the ground, progressives, don't like the deal for a variety of reasons, and I'm in agreement with them. I don't think we should stop primary challenges against IDC members. I think we have to defeat as many as we can. That's very important. But the parameters of the deal in place, it seems like there'll be some sort of reunification after the budget, which I think is a mistake. I think it should happen during or the budget or as early as possible. But I don't know what actually is going to happen. Albany is unpredictable, and these deals have fallen apart before. So I'm in a wait-and-see mode, and I am wary of making predictions or forecasting what's going to happen, because I really don't know, and I don't trust the IDC to uphold its end of any deal.
Your chosen field is journalism. You do a lot of great writing. So, of course, I guess you've written about New York State government. What made you decide to take the leap from journalism to elected politics? And the reason I asked that is in 2000, the editor of the Times Union, of the Albany Times Union, Dan Lynch, he made the transition from journalism to running for the state assembly, and it was not a very successful endeavor. So from your perspective, why did you decide to make the giant leap?
I've been getting frustrated with politicians and the ways they were trying to solve problems. The transportation crisis in New York City this summer really motivated me. And even before that, Marty Golden ran unopposed in 2016. I'm a lifelong resident of the district. I grew up in Brooklyn and Bay Ridge. And so I was very upset when no one ran against him in 2016. And at the time, I wasn't thinking yet that the person running would be me, but I thought, this is a disgrace. Someone should have run. So this summer, the failure of the subway system really got me thinking and watching how a lot of politicians, Democrats, and Republicans had really struggled to come up with serious solutions. I don't say every politician. Some are very good, but the failure, you know, of the management of this transportation authority was galvanizing for me, and I wanted to make a difference, and I felt I had the background to do it. I mean, it's an untraditional background, but I know the issues. I've held politicians to account. I've done it from the outside. I'm going to do it from the inside, and I am very excited to do this, and I believe it's a winning endeavor. It's not just to entertain myself or to make a point. It's to defeat a very poor legislator and hopefully make the state Senate a far more progressive and functional place.
Now, you said you were looking at it from the outside. Now you're looking at it from the inside. Has there been any epiphanies for you?
Well, just how difficult the fundraising aspect is and how bad our campaign finance system is. I always knew it was lousy. I always was a supporter of public finance, though I wasn't necessarily a strong supporter, but I always was sympathetic to it. But now I see for all the flaws of public finance, and the system we have in New York City is far superior to the state system, where there really are no laws, and anyone can donate, businesses and LLCs and very rich people can really control the process entirely, and the incentives are so bad. So understanding firsthand how awful the campaign finance system is, and this has motivated me to make this a top issue, and hopefully when I get to Albany, we'll be working on this right away, and we'll be getting a normal functioning campaign finance system in place.
So besides campaign finance, what other issues are you running on that you feel are very important to the citizens in Brooklyn?
Transportation, very important. I've got a comprehensive transportation platform. Healthcare, I support Medicare for all. I believe healthcare should be a right, not a privilege. I believe in standing up to pharmaceutical companies who price gouge us. I'm running on housing, both reforming our property tax system and ensuring rent regulations are strengthened, not weakened, protect rent-controlled and rent-stabilized tenants, and make it easier to live in this highly unaffordable borough. Running on reproductive health, protecting women's right to choose, and also strengthening actions for mothers, for young women, to make Albany a less toxic place for women to work. Put out a women's issues platform. That's very important to me. Climate change, resiliency. My district was battered by Hurricane Sandy, so that's very important to me. And there are other issues as well. Like I said, campaign finance is important. Cleaning up corruption in Albany. Education. I mean, I studied to be an English teacher. I was a substitute teacher, so I understand the struggles of the teacher in the classroom. And so making it easier to retain and attract good teachers is very important to me, and to protect unionized teachers and to also alleviate overcrowding. And, there are other issues as well. That those are some of the overarching ones that are always on my mind.
In the event that you win and there's still a schism in the Democratic Party in the state Senate, How would you deal with that?
I would be advocating for progressive change, however I can. Obviously, I'd be a Democrat. My hope is we have a functioning United Democratic majority. All I would say is I would not join the IDC. I would not empower the IDC to be in any type of majority. And I would work well with others. I am an outsider, and I am certainly someone who speaks his mind. I'm unafraid to call people out, no matter their party affiliation. But I also am a collaborator by nature. I like to work with people. I am collegial beneath the, a tougher veneer, I guess. So I would try to work with others, but I would work with others if we're working toward the same goals, and I would not work with others if the goal is just to empower conservative Republicans who don't represent the interests of New York City. And that's really what it comes down to. Are we pushing a state Senate progressive majority that's going to help our city of 8.5 million people that really give so much to the state and gets relatively little back? Or are we going to empower Republicans who have very different constituencies and very different concerns and don't ride the subway and don't have rent-stabilized units in their district and don't really care about the things we in New York City care about? If this Senate majority is just going to do that, then I don't really want to be part of it. I'm going to fight it. But I will do whatever it takes to have a strong, functioning, progressive majority so we can pass the New York Health Act, so we can pass the DREAM Act, so we can pass GENDA, so we can really get the state moving in a good direction and really bring the state into the 21st century, because quite frankly, it's not right now. It's mired in the 20th century. I don't know what decade, but it's way back there, and we have to get caught up.
So if somebody wants to donate to your campaign, become part of your campaign, be a volunteer, how can they reach you?
They can go to my website, rossbarkin.com. It's my first and last name, R-O-S-S, and then a Barkin, B-A-R-K-N.com. There's a contribute button. There's also a get involved button as well, and you can sign up there. You can always email me, rossbarkin2018@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter. People have DM'd me asking to volunteer, and I respond usually very quickly. So there's a lot of ways to get involved. We have a long list of volunteers, and we're going to need a lot more. So anyone who wants to get involved, I would really appreciate it. And, of course, donations are appreciated, because that's how we pay for everything. And fundraising is going well, but we can always have more. So you can go online and do that. It's very easy. You can also mail a check. Make it out to Ross Barkin for New York, and you can mail it to me or to my treasurer, and I can get someone the information if they need that as well.
So if somebody sends you a check, not through the internet, but through the regular mail, what's your regular address?
Well, they can mail it to one, and then 74th Street, 3E, Brooklyn, New York, 11209. They can mail checks there.
So, Ross, thank you. Good luck, in your endeavor. Happy holidays.
Thank you, too.
I'm sure maybe we'll talk again. So you've been listening to New York State Senate candidate Ross Barkin. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. And if you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. Ross, good luck, and we'll talk again. And thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful weekend. Bye.
You too. Happy holidays.
Thank you.